From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Cairns is continuing his series in the book of Romans, and he is now dealing with chapter 12 in a series of messages called The Believer's Response to the Gospel. This first message bears the title, A Life of Self-Sacrifice and Service. Dr. Cairns departs from the usual treatment of Romans, in which the first 11 chapters are regarded by many as doctrinal, whereas chapters 12 through 16 are considered to be practical. As he emphasizes, the Christian's belief about the gospel must dictate how he lives. The opening verses of the chapter exhort the believer to offer themselves as living sacrifices to God. Dr. Cairns has explained that this is not talking about somehow making atonement for sins or failures in the Christian life. Rather, the believer is to act as a priest unto God, giving himself unreservedly for service to the Lord. The Christian's zeal for Christ is in direct proportion to his understanding of the gospel. In the light of what Christ has done through his suffering and death on the cross, the believer's giving of himself in a life of self-sacrifice and service is only reasonable. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 120 and verse 5. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. As a Christian, you have to live in the midst of an ungodly world, and it is of little use for you to cry, Woe is me. Jesus did not pray that you should be taken out of the world, and what he did not pray for, you need not desire. Better far in the Lord's strength to meet the difficulty and glorify him in it. The enemy is ever on the watch to detect inconsistency in your conduct. Be therefore very holy. Remember that the eyes of all are upon you, and that more is expected from you than from other men. Strive to give no occasion for blame. Let your goodness be the only fault they can discover in you. Like Daniel, compel them to say of you, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Seek to be useful as well as consistent. Perhaps you think, if I were in a more favorable position, I might serve the Lord's cause, but I cannot do anything where I am. But the worse the people are among whom you live, the more need have they of your exertions. If they be crooked, the more necessity that you should set them straight. And if they be perverse, the more need have you to turn their proud hearts to the truth. Where should the physician be but where there are many sick? Where is honor to be won by the soldier but in the hottest fire of the battle? And when weary of the strife and sin that meets you on every hand, consider that all the saints have endured the same trial. They were not carried on downy beds to heaven, and you must not expect to travel more easily than they. They had to hazard their lives unto the death in the high places of the field, and you will not be crowned until you also have endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Therefore, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong.
Men of God, arise, let us praise the King together. Men of God, arise, let us praise His holy name. For His wondrous power within, for His power to cleanse from sin, for His power to take alive and make it whole.
We are called to spread the gospel story to those who've never heard. We are called to spread the gospel story. Let our banner be unfurled. We've a story to give to our nation, to bring them the message of salvation. We'll work and watch and fight and pray. Oh, men of God, arise. Men of God, arise, for he comes to claim his children. Men of God, arise, for he cometh in the sky. We know not the day or hour that he'll come in glorious power. We must go and spread the news that he will come again. We are called to spread the gospel story. Gospel story, let our banner be unfurled. We'll tell the wonderful story of the Christ who sets men free. Men of God, arise and proclaim liberty.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-888-483-2408. That's 1-888-483-2408. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
Thank you. I said earlier, Christianity's not a mind game. Neither, as I've said many a time, is it a spectator sport. So many people, and they say, I'm saved. They come to church. They sit in the sidelines. They're spectators to what is going on. Oh, they have their devotions. And by the way, I am not minimizing the value of that, nor am I in any way trying to be sarcastic about that. But they have their devotions. They live like a little island. And they're cut off from everything that's going on around about them. But I look and wonder, where is the picture of a man consumed with a driving passion to serve Christ, to glorify God, to magnify Him who died and rose again? Listen, if I believe this, Paul says you must live sacrificially. You must be on the altar. You must be consumed in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all for His glory. What do we know of that? What do we know of that? Can I say that the simplest way I can put it is that the level of our burning zeal for Christ is in direct proportion to the clarity with which we have grasped the gospel by faith. A faith in Christ that really grasps the gospel cannot and will not fail to produce this self-sacrificing life that's consumed. No longer I, but Christ. No longer what I can want, what I can do, what I can obtain, how far I can go. That's why we sang that hymn tonight. Rather it is, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Every time I think of that, my mind goes back to a young man who had gone to university, the medical school in Queen's University in Belfast. He'd been a brilliant student. He had done very well. He had gone on into surgical studies. He had qualified as a very highly qualified surgeon. He had a string of professional degrees behind his name. The world was at his feet. He could go anywhere in this world. He could command the highest paying jobs in his part of the medical profession. But God had called him to be a missionary. A friend of mine took his paperwork over to Liverpool to meet with the Brazilian government authorities there and showed the consul all these things. And that unsaved Roman Catholic man looked at these things. And he said, this man wants to go to what we call in Brazil the green hell. And he just looked and he shook his head. He said, why would a man with all those qualifications, with the world at his feet, why would he want to bury himself in Brazil's green hell? Didn't make any sense to the ungodly mind, but it made perfect sense to that young man. And why wouldn't it? God had saved him. Christ had died for him. The gospel gripped his heart. And away he went. Because there was something more important than reaching the top of the medical profession in Britain or America. There was something more important than all the money that could be made. What was it? It was to burn out for Jesus Christ. At this stage, if I could sing, I would. You can be thankful I won't. When I first visited Greenville, Dr. Gingery had one of the staff at Bob Jones, Mrs. White, is now gone to be with the Lord. He had her sing one night, I'm sure you remember this. And he asked her to sing what was his favorite piece at that time by her. Let me burn out for thee, dear Lord. Let me burn out for thee. There's an awful lot of professing Christians rusting out. They're like the hulks that litter the shoreline. They're rusting out. That's not the way to live. And I want to tell you, the older you get, the more you realize it's not the way to die. Burn out for God. I look across this congregation, see so many young people, and the world beckons, and the opportunities, as they're called, they all beckon. Listen, I don't know what the Lord has for your life, but I want to tell you, you should live sacrificially unto God. There's my life. Lord, take it. Do whatever you want with it. Put me wherever you want, for whatever reason you want, to do whatever job you want. Take my life. Take it. The only good it can ever do is what it does for God. Doesn't matter what your profession is, what walk of life God puts you in, the only good you will ever do is what your life accomplishes for God. Live sacrificially. That means it can hurt. Oh yes, it hurts. The old flesh doesn't like it. I have no doubt when Brainerd went out to lie in the snow to melt it around him with the passion of his praying, I have no doubt that his flesh didn't like it any more than yours would or mine would. It may hurt, but my, this is the call of God. A believer yielding himself to live offers a holy sacrifice. Very often preachers take this verse to show you if you're going to offer your body to God, your body must be holy. And of course that's true. You can't believe it in sin and say, Lord, take my sin and use it. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. And Romans 6 verse 13 and verse 16 makes it clear also that you're not to yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead. So it's true what the preachers tell you in this instance. If you're going to offer your body to God, it must be holy. But that's not the truth that Paul is here telling. What Paul is saying in the text is that a Christian's body presented to God as a sacrifice is holy. And it is acceptable by Jesus Christ. Now, to live this way is the only right thing for a believer to do. The only right thing. Think of it again. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, stop and think. In His mercy, God chose us in Christ God entered into a covenant of redemption from all eternity with His own dear Son, in which He gave us to Christ, and He appointed Christ to be our Redeemer. In the fullness of time, He sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us who were under the law. He called us. He saved us. He justified us. He received us. He accepted us. He sealed us with His Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. He has done all these things, removing our condemnation and setting us in the embrace of His everlasting love. Now then, look at the mercies of God. And let me reiterate what I've said 1,000 times. It cost God nothing to create this vast universe. No effort, no furrowing of the brows, no worrying would it work out. In His absolute omniscience and by His absolute omnipotence, God spoke and it was done. But when He moved to save the guilty sons of Adam's fallen race, it cost God everything. His Son is the darling of His bosom. And yet God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Now listen. Paul says, I'm beseeching you, look at the mercies of God and tell me, could it be right for a Christian to do anything else than to say, take my life, take my hands, take my feet, take my body, take my brains, take my time, take my talent, take all that I am thine, O Lord. Thine by covenant, thine by blood, I am thine. By the mercies of God, tells us this is the only right thing for a Christian to do. It's also the only reasonable thing. It's your reasonable service. The word reasonable it's a word that means it could be translated intelligent. It's the only intelligent thing to do. In other words, if you as a professing Christian are not living this way, you're not thinking straight. There's a bit of lunacy has entered in. You're not thinking straight. If you think through the gospel, and this is why, and I know I sound like a broken record. Let me get back there, because most of these kids nowadays have never seen a record. So whatever it is that is the modern equivalent to a broken record, it goes on and on and on and on in the one groove. I know I sound like that. But you must constantly be thinking the gospel. Never get away from what we have covered in the first 11 chapters of Romans. If you live to be the age of Methuselah, never think you can graduate beyond those things. These are the things that are to engage your thinking. I've been preaching for 45 years now. Almost 45 years. I know that comes as a terrible shock when, to quote my beloved moderator, Dr. Paisley, I only look like 25. We both have very strange mirrors. But after all those years, I have never graduated, if that would be the word, beyond these great central realities of the gospel. And if God were to spare me to preach for another 45 years, I still wouldn't graduate beyond them. Why? Because this is what's to possess my thinking. This is what is supposed to possess your thinking. And listen, when you're thinking through the gospel, the only intelligent reaction and response is say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. Take my life, use it, for it has no other value And I want you to understand that I mean that. Listen, it doesn't do any good for you to live 100 years unless you're living them for Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.